So yeah, I copied the title that you see here directly for the program. I think Willy invented it for me. Normally it's spelled QMU with a small e, I think even.
For a question and you didn't give me one. I have put something on the program.
Yeah, it's always my fault, I know. So what is this actually about? Of course, you don't actually write the PCI driver using QEMU, but you write a PCI driver for a fake piece of real hardware that this nice piece of software called QEMU is providing to us. So, who in this room has heard of QEMU before? Okay, pretty much everyone. Who's a kernel hacker here? Okay, you're wrong here. You're just here for the internet entertainment value, just to make that short, because explaining how to write a PCI driver is primarily for people who haven't done that before. So anyone here who hasn't written a PCI driver or any kind of device driver before? Quite a few at least. That guy has written a file system, but not a device driver, yeah. And really bad ones, yeah. I'm not really able to help you with that, at least while I'm standing here in front of everyone. So yeah, as I said, this is for beginners. And if you look at how a Hello World, not even a PCI driver, looks in kernel space, it's actually pretty small. Smaller than Java. But that's not what we're about, because just writing a Hello World in the kernel log is just, well, boring, even if it's just two more lines. And that's why we're going to do a little more and implement a little bit of a real device driver. And that's about as far as the presentation goes, because now we're going on to code. So if you've got a bit of a PCI driver, this looks a lot like, well, code that's not really code, but more boilerplate, and that's exactly what it is. So for all the people who've not done any kernel work before, this stuff here is not code, it's just annotation. Forget about it for now. What you really want to look at is the init function. SO init. The SO is the name of my driver, by the way. That's just an arbitrary prefix you choose for it. And we'll find out later during the talk what the SO stands for. And you basically just register a PCI driver function that we declare above. We just got a bunch of things in there, a name, so we really know what we're talking about here. Very important. Without a name, you're nothing. So never forget that. It's got a table of PCI device IDs, we'll see above. And it's got two callbacks to probe and remove our device. Pretty easy, right? Well, sounds easy. Almost a monkey could do it. Might even work then. Then we've got to say what PCI devices we're looking at. So these are just magic hexadecimal numbers. That's how quite a lot of drivers work. Of course, this is just a virtual device, so I've just stolen those numbers somewhere. So don't do that at home. People might get really mad at you. For example, I've stolen this one from Realtek, a hardware vendor of some really nice PCI cards. You might have in your really cheap Taiwanese laptop or something. And we're just abusing that. Okay, so once we've got our new device and the computer has found this ID, it's going to call into a nice little probe callback, which we're going to look at. By the way, this editor was recommended to me. It's, yeah, funky. You can change the font size and everything. You can't do that in VI, but I prefer if you'd start hacking in VI, because only then you're a real hacker. So this is just for showing off. So Willy's just looking like he can't read this. Is it too small?
I'm trying to see I'm looking for the title, but what editor it is.
Haha, good question. Anyone knows what editor this is? Yeah, it's some KDE thingy. I even installed KDE for that. So if we finally found our device, we're going to look into enabling it. This is just more boilerplate code. Then we're a nice driver. We've actually tell the system log that we found it here. Some drivers do this, some don't. It makes it a lot easier for the user if you actually show it. Then we've got to tell the device that we actually want to request our memory or I/O bar regions. Some of the big iron people might actually beat me up for using this because this eats too much resources up on their machines. But for a simple driver, we're not going to talk about that. We have to allow PCI bus mastering if we want to do DMA. And even in this tiny little trivial driver, we're going to do some DMA. We've got to allocate a little structure for our device. Then we've got to finally remap our I/O space. All pretty trivial. Request an interrupt handler. We better only do this after we've set up everything before because we might be using it. Once again, we tell the name. We tell the interrupt subsystem that we're ready to deal with shared interrupts. I'll go on to explain how this actually works when going on to the interrupt handler above. And now we're going to do magic things. So, anyone's got an idea what the SO might stand for by now? Nope. Okay. Whatever. Huh? Give it away. It's the significant other device. The first part of our handshake when finding it is we try to establish some eye contact with a very magic number that's a magic parameter, because otherwise it's just not going to work. this So, the next thing we do after the first one is to send a nice little love letter poem using a DMA mailbox, which we're going to do using DMA. So first we have to allocate a DMA buffer, which is just a function. Then we have to write something to our buffer, which is a nice little love poem that's short enough to fit into the buffer. We've got to tell the device our DMA address, our length, which is just a bunch of registers in there, kick it off, and finally wait for the device to actually tell us, which is happening in the interrupt handler we're going to look at next. And then we're done with the DMA buffer. So this is pretty much DMA, which is what you're doing in PCI drivers in simple. In real life, it can actually be really complex, and I think Willie's going to tell you about that for about an hour later on, how DMA might actually be complex if the hardware is not as nice.
No, I'm not talking anymore.
Okay. Oh, okay. Then Willie's not talking about that anymore. So, the other last really important bit about a PCI driver is to have an interrupt handler when the device wakes up and tells you, help me, here, I give you your arm, I want to do something. And we've actually got a few different interrupts, and here we see about our shared interrupt handler. So first we read a register that pretty much every hardware device has, which is an interrupt status whatever register, and we see if there's actually any interrupt pending, because if not, this is not for us, but for someone else who might be sharing this line. So if we're not doing this, we got to better tell the Linux kernel that this is not our interrupt and jump out of it. Otherwise, we're going to tell it that we've got to handle it. And then we look at what kind of interrupt we got, like an eye contact interrupt, or we got the engagement interrupt, but we better tell the handler that we're now done. Or we've got a little interrupt that just occurs every 15 seconds or something with this device. It's the I need some love interrupt, where you basically need to take a little care and then the device is fine again and comes up with the I need a little love interrupt 15 seconds later. Yeah, just like any kind of hardware. I think it's not. Kinda, yeah. I think this depends on the mood of the device. So, and now we're just going to boot Humio with a nice Linux kernel and look how this, look at how this looks in real life. Yeah, you see, it takes a little longer, needs a lot of love as well. So, yeah, once we find our new driver, first thing is we don't actually hear from our device, but from the PCI subsystem that it found it, and it's got an interrupt line. Then we found the device, we've got some eye contact, then QEMU prints out the love letter the device sent down to it using DMA. Very beautiful one. Then we're finally done, and now at every 15 seconds the device wakes up and needs some loving. So this was the Linux side, just a pretty much trivial PCI driver. And looking at the QEMU side, it's actually even more trivial, because everyone who tried to write hardware using VHDL is really happy that you can write hardware in C and QEMU. It's just a lot easier. So if we look at the QEMU driver, it's just a handful of lines. And when we start, once again, the interesting thing is the initialization function, which shows that QEMU is quite different from the Linux kernel. So definitely likes to have type devs for just about everything, which is something you'll notice is very different from the Linux kernel. And the other thing is, they like magic numbers a lot. So if you look at the QEMU driver, you'll see a lot of magic hex constants for things like the PCI config space here. In Linux, you have a nice structure where you have a vendor ID 16-bit value, device ID 16-bit value. Not so in QEMU. There's a nice big array where you just stuff a lot of magic numbers in there. By what? No, it's QEMU is done by Fabrice Bella, I'm not sure I pronounced it correctly, who is used to be winner of the obfuscated C contest, so it's not that bad, but well, a lot of magic. So it's definitely one of the projects, actually part of my to-do list, is actually making all these hardware drivers readable for a mere human instead of just them copying an old driver and just tweaking the bits you want to tweak by looking at the documentation. Anyway, this is kind of the identity of the PCI device, which is what we're doing first. And the second part is registering an MMIO address handler that basically gives in an array of the byte, word, byte short and long access methods. So we've got the arrays here, and then look into the functions. They're doing another indirection for those drivers that actually want to support port IO as well to MMIO. And then we've basically got long, or in this case, pretty short switch statements dealing with every register and trapping the reads and writes to it. For example, if we look at the write long function, which we use for the DMA parameters, which is do a switch for the two registers we use for the DMA parameters, and just store the ones we got written into in a local state structure we're using for the DMA later on. Similar, if we look at the read function, for example, we can read the interrupt status, in which case we return it. This register is a special one you'll see in quite a bit of real hardware as well, which is
clears and read by having an atomic read and clear. Now we have to update the IRQ line using a QEMU helper function. So generally the read and write is all pretty trivial. DMA is a little more interesting. To get your sizes, then there's a special accessor that allows you to poke into the guest virtual memory space where you can read from, and after that you're pretty much done already as well. So very easy again. Yeah, that's pretty much everything you need to do in QEMU for getting a lot of love for your virtual hardware. And I'm definitely far too fast. Yes. So the only virtual I/O use actually for Spark hardware, so nothing else. But for example, this one works in KVM as well, using hardware accelerated guests. You're accessing this using this CPU read write something functions. CPU physical memory read. Yes. The terms are all a little unclear. There's also a lot of homegrown Indian in switching in QEMU. Nowadays they have the same helpers as in Linux kernel, but there's also a lot of homegrown stuff, so it's not up to the standards you might expect. Okay. Oh, damn it. So right now the most easy to understand driver is the Realtek 8139 driver. There is a very nicely readable driver that's not in QEMU yet, but posted on the KVM list that emulates the Intel E1000, or one of the 5 gazillion E1000 network controllers. There is a bunch of nice SCSI drivers in there. So there's the Spark ESP one. There is the Symbios 2 LSI Logic 7961 with a script interpreter. 896, yeah. Not the Linux kernel driver, but the QEMU driver is quite interesting. Because as we have more kernel hackers than not kernel hackers here, it might be more interesting to just talk about the QEMU side than the trivial PCI driver side. Using what? Oh, okay. So they don't really have fancy graphics drivers. It's just some really old Cirrus Logic VGA controller. There's a DEC Alpha TCX controller. So no fancy graphics yet. I guess doing graphics is pretty hard that way. Yeah, so I didn't really know either, so I started writing a SCSI controller I have in the 8 docs for, and I first need to talk to the vendor if they really want this emulator or something, even if it's pretty trivial. So, I don't know, Intel didn't complain about the E1000 driver posted to the KVM list, which has a lot of Intel folks. Yeah. Well, the Make Up Your Own has a problem that you need special drivers for it, and if you want to run Windows or OS 2 or wanky hobbyist OS number 13 on it, it's just a lot of effort.
it doesn't support connected views for it.
No, but it should be pretty easy because ATP is, I mean, it's just a bunch of additional registers and the agapetcher and whatever.
Yeah.
So, as I said, pretty much just emulating register writes is just having a big switch function, trapping stuff, and just coding that in C, which is definitely a lot easier than trying to do that in VHDL. Well, like a DMA region, you can do that where the host uses DMA. Host can write into the memory every time, then just writes into a register that is kind of like the DMA register, and then it can access it. But you need some kind of ownership protocol, of course. No, I think that's pretty hard to do in just plain C code. Probably want to marry it with what's the memory leak detection tool? Yeah, you probably do some strange marriage where you just fuck everything up. Yeah, it's also nice about QEMU is that you've got a GDB stop and can just run everything under GDB if you want. Ooh, we've got a volunteer. So I'll pop that up on my website just afterwards, but this is a lot more trivial than what you'd get in QEMU, so it might actually be a good start. So we'll be available somewhere on my website, but it's not quite yet. So QEMU itself is completely single threaded currently. Yeah. So no locking anywhere in there. But I guess that will have to change sooner or later when more of this is used as device model for KVM and Xen and whatever. At some point, they don't want to single thread all the hardware emulation anymore. Yeah. So error injection is interesting because you can introduce random corruptions anywhere that the driver might not really expect. Yeah. Well, you can go from good to really bad hardware in a second. No, it's like totally undocumented, no commands, nothing. It's just good old hacker style, get out the big sword and fight through somehow. It's quite nasty, so it's just totally lacking commands.